Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
me fall, losing my way. Yeah. Give me confused, make me believe, increase my faith. Light on me, baby, please take your time, I got you. And I'ma turn to your curves until your body say the words, don't you move. All I wanna do, girl, is heal you, give you better than you've been through. All I need from you is your heal. Reassure me that you'll be right here. We can medicate each other, no illness. Supposed to be strong even when it's something that's hard to handle. Yeah. Sometimes I wanna let go, but I keep halting right on the pedal. Light on me, baby, please take your time, I got you. And I'ma turn to your curves until your body say the words, don't you move. All I wanna do, girl, is heal you, give you better than you've been through. All I need from you is your heal. Reassure me that you'll be right here. We can medicate each other, no illness.
let the clock go round, let the clock go round. Why you always take so long to call me? No, I gotta wake up in the morning. You know every second as I'm going in it, need 10,000 hours. We can be so in love. Don't stop, I'm counting them up.
Let's just have fun and make this one to remember.
Yeah, but I'm still
Welcome, 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 and good evening. I'm your host, Pearl Enigma. This is Divas Talk. Now I'm joined tonight by my divas again, Lisa Lips. How you doing tonight, Diva?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I started a new project, and already in my head, I see how it's gonna look. You know, and I'm in love with it all.
Okay.
Yes. Also, got ourselves a Lady A. How you doing tonight, Lady A?
I'm doing okay. Glad to be here. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, how you doing?
Not too bad.
Oh. All right, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. This is sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? Ladies, I got my Raw Links on. You got yours on?
Sure.
Always.
I know that's right. The dial-in number is 319-527-6300, and please, by all means, press that 1 and join us. Now, before I continue, I want to give a big shout out and a thank you to someone who is a very, very good friend of mine. And he is not only the CEO of Epiphany Radio, he is also the creator and CEO of Raw Links, those beautiful pieces of jewelry that me and my diva speak of. And his name is Arthur Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real the Poet Douglas. Baby, baby, yeah. And you can acquire those beautiful pieces of jewelry, which include precious gems and metals and even wood. You can get them at Amazon and Raw Links Be Raw at Facebook.com. And if you can't acquire them at either one of those places, holler at any one of us here at Epiphany, and we will make sure that you get to adorn your body with a piece from Raw Links. Now, ladies, 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 tonight, I want to know, and I'm sure you do, what do you see in the mirror? Ms. Lips, what do you see when you look in the mirror?
I have always struggled with my image. I don't think that I am an ugly girl, but I don't think that I'm remarkable. So I struggle a lot with what I see.
Okay. Okay. Lady A.
Wow. I read the question before, and I've been struggling over an answer, but I think it depends. I don't know. Like, can you see emotionally, or you can see physically. For me, I've struggled too with my self image. I choose to call myself voluptuous. I'm not a thin woman, but it's been a struggle because being even a little bit plump or a lot plump, you get the same kind of prejudice, because I feel that people are prejudiced against people who carry a little bit of weight. And so to me, that's, it pricks my self-esteem, you know. That's the best way I can put it. It's always bothered me.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you what I see. When I look in the mirror, I see healed scars from past damage. I see the babies that I carried, the relationships that I've had. I see all the masks that I used to wear throughout the years. I see love
because I love myself now. Yeah, I'm thick. I'm big girl now. And guess what? I got all that. I got blemishes and outside scars on my skin. I even developed eczema this late in life. I see the growth in me. I see everything when I look in the mirror. I don't look in the mirror that often, but I do. And I smile because I see that I have, I see how far I've come. And I'm proud of myself, you know. I'd like to lose some weight, you know, for health reasons, not so much for aesthetics. It used to be very super, I used to be very superficial. And I wanted to present an image that was perfect, but that doesn't exist. So I need people to get that out of their head. There is no such thing as the perfect image, okay? We were made imperfectly perfect. That's why one side of our body is a little bit smaller than the other. One side of our hair acts right, and the other side acts a fool when we try to do it a certain way. That's just the way it is, and that is what I see when I look in the mirror. I don't pick at myself anymore. I used to pick myself apart, and I mean every bit of me, my skin, my smile, my voice, my eyes, everything. But I don't do that anymore because I want the peace to continue within me. It's nothing like having that internal peace, you know. It's just different. It's a whole different level of love and respect. And that's what I see. So,
that's fabulous.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to have a discussion with you about that word and see if we can change that word. It's something negative attached to that particular word. You know. And you know what? No, fuck that. You can use that word. It just... don't yell. Use it. But ladies, I'm going to do a station identifier, and then when we come back, we're going to get into some poetry. Is that all right with you?
Sounds great.
All right. Be right back.
Tiffany Radio.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back, everybody. Now, I am truly, truly ready to jump into some poetry, but before I do, is there anything else you ladies would like to add to the question? Or you want to just jump into your piece?
I can't think of anything to add to it.
Okay.
I think you did a really good job with what you said, La Perla, because you touched on my thoughts of the emotional being that we see in the mirror. And I'm bringing a poem to that effect anyways, but I think you're absolutely right in that we have to look at ourselves in that fashion, because we've been on a journey, all of us, and to be able to recognize that we are better people is a good thing, and that counts more than, you know, a few soft curves on our bodies. And so good for you. You're always a leader in that aspect. I appreciate that about you.
Thank you, and I appreciate that from you. All right, well, I am going to kick this poetry off with you, Lady A. What did you bring for our listening home tonight?
I brought a piece called Who Does She See, which I wrote in 2015. So here it goes.
The mic is yours.
Look in the mirror. Who do you see? The face resembles the same person, it seems. Who is that one staring back from the glass? She questions and wonders. Does she see the contrast? Self-doubt is the lie she believes here and now, second-guessing herself even when she's avowed to rid her mind, free her soul from the lies which hide deep inside the depths of her mind. Standing outside, there's a fence stretched for miles. Alone on one side, she looks at them, smile. All standing together, comrades in arms, they point and they shout, "We disapprove of your charm." They say, "We don't like what you say, what you do. Don't forget, we don't even like that you're you. We don't like how you behave when you talk. We don't even like the way that you walk. We disapprove of the way that you smile, not to mention the fact we don't like your style." She sees and she hears all the negative crap. She stands up and shouts, "Get off my back! I am who I am, and I like who is me. I am good, and I'm kind and loving and sweet. I'm fun, and I love harder than any I know. If that's not good enough, here's the door." She looks in the mirror. Who does she see? A wonderful woman who has set herself free. Who is that one staring back from the glass? A passionate woman, a woman with class and peace.
That's what I'm talking about right there. Right. Kick rocks. Get out of here with that mess. Okay. I love that piece because it speaks of a woman who is sure of herself. When you are sure of yourself, you ain't got no problem with telling people to go on about their business. Get you some and get out of mind. Because there is so much negativity that this world thrives on. When you are positive and you are minding your business, people want to bother you. They want to get in it. They want to make some noise and stir up some shit just because, you know, they don't want to deal with their own life. There's a saying that goes, the only reason why people walk around with their nose in the air is because they can't stand the smell of their bullshit.
Good one.
It's true. They walk around and they turn their nose up at you, but really what it is, they don't want to face the fact that they are not perfect. Okay? Everybody wants to put out this front and this act that is no imbalance in their life. Everything just perfect, just working wonderful. So they do things to distract people away from what's really going on with them. So afraid that they'll show vulnerability and that they got a scar, they got hurt somewhere, you know, that they pull the attention, they draw the attention towards you where you have been transparent because you are handling your business. So whatever comes out, it is what it is. You're not focused on that.
And they hate facing their own truth.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They put their nose down and they really going to find out that they shit stink too. You know? It might look like roses on top, but what did Outkast say? it's something about if you lean a little bit closer, roses really smell like boo-boo. Yeah, I forget the whole line. I got to hear the song again, and then it will come right back to me. But that was beautiful. It's strength in there and courage. I like that. I really do. Ms. Lips, what you got for that?
I both of you are, you have no idea how you inspire me, especially you, La Perla Negra, because you have been in my corner through a lot of things and reminding me that there's more to me than the things that I deal with. I come from a whole tribe of superficial, petty people, and it's been very hard for me to stop seeing myself in that light, and that peace speaks to that part of who we are that has nothing to do with who we tangibly are, but who we are within and who we are as spiritual, healthy beings. And I appreciate that piece quite a bit for that reason.
Thank you so much.
All right, Ms. Lips, I am handing the microphone to you. Whenever you're ready, the mic is yours.
Okay. Thank you. This piece I have written and rewritten several times over the last 9 to 10 years. It's called I See Unseen. All my life I've been told, you would be a pretty girl if you lost some weight. But when I look in the mirror, I see the face of Ola Lane McCready, my paternal grandmother, and I hear her voice say to me, a woman ain't a woman till she weighs 200 pounds. Don't no man want a bone unless he must can't handle a real woman. You see, at 5'2", she wore a size 22 and bought her custom-cut double D bras from Lady XL twice every year. And my grandfather, who was 5'3" and never weighed more than 135, absolutely adored her. They were married 56 years and birthed 10 kids over 30 years, yet they still acted like teenagers on their first date. And after her passing, Grandpa spent every day looking at her pictures and telling anyone who'd listen how beautiful she was. So when his time came, he said to my father, I'm all right now, son. I'm going to be with Mom now. But she left me as a teenager, and I got lost. Society said, sin is in, and I wanted it. I starved myself down to a size 7, leaving me with a 40-inch bust line and a 27-inch waist at the age of 13, way too young to look like that. And I learned to value myself by what others thought of me. And Daddy didn't help. He spent most of his time giving me the wrong messages. At home, he berated me about my fat ass while constantly bringing me snacks. But in the street, he threatened any boy who dared to approach me, so I was never asked out, reinforcing to me that I was unwanted. And now as a grown woman, I don't know how I feel about myself. My face in the mirror is pleasant, but catching a full-length view of me makes me cringe. A few have called me beautiful, but far more have put me down. And society makes it okay to say whatever you want to a fat girl with no shame. Men act like they're doing me a favor if they give me any attention. And should I spurn their advances, they unleash hurtful words that I've learned to publicly ignore. But just because you don't see me flinch don't mean the pain ain't real. And even though I've had relationships, I felt more like the consolation prize than the trophy I wanted to be. I endured years of a marriage to a man who never even once said I was beautiful, not even when I met him at the altar. So by the time he left without even saying goodbye, I was convinced that I had nothing that made me desirable. I made myself accustomed to the background. My makeup kit went unopened. Plain clothing, the norm, and society obliged me because no one even noticed. I labeled myself undesirable because no man ever touted me the way Pop always touted Grandma. They only crept in and used me, then denied or ignored me should we ever cross paths in public. So my struggle has always been trying to find my own beauty and to see what I was created for. So I declare, as of today, I'm returning to the one thing my grandmother tried to teach me, to love myself just as I am, fat belly, short legs, blemishes and all, because I am her legacy, and she deserves better from me. I'm lit, and you've just been serviced.
Yo. Wow. Go ahead, Lady A, you first.
Wow, this was just so painful. You know, people would say, "Look, you'd be pretty if you lost weight." I've had people say a similar thing. You get a pretty face, but you know, it'd be a whole lot nicer if you lost weight. And your grandmother must have been a wonderful person. Because she instilled in you her beauty of who she was, and I'm sure she hoped to pass that on to you for you to love yourself no matter what. I was told one time after I had lost Bob when he died, I was seeing the counselor, and I've always been a bit chubby. And I was lamenting to my psychologist that nobody would fall in love with me because of my weight. And I was probably at the time probably about 30 pounds overweight. And he said, you know, men love bigger women. And I said, you're only saying that to make me feel bad. He said, no, I'm telling you. He said, a lot of men are under as much peer pressure to be in love with a skinny woman when they truly want someone that's curvaceous. And he said, you would not believe the number of men that speak to that. And so we've believed that lie, and men believe that lie. But given the opportunity for us to just shine because of who we are, and that way we attract people to us who are worthy of our affection. And we believe the lie. You said I had nothing that made, you felt you had nothing to, that made you feel desirable. And how sad that we do that to ourselves. And then you try to find your own beauty. And I'm so glad you returned to the love yourself. Just as I am, as your grandmother said. And I guess I'm telling myself this as I'm telling anybody that has some weight issues, is that, you know, we're more than what we weigh. We're more, way more than what we weigh. I remember one time when I was, I won't tell this, then I'll shut up. I had lost a bunch of weight, and I was going to a particular church, and I had been going there for like 15 years, and there were people in that church that never said hello to me in those 15 years, that when I lost the weight, they came up to me and said, wow, you look great. And I didn't take it well because I was only worthwhile saying hello to when I was thin. They didn't give me the time of day when I was overweight. And so who needs those kind of people in our lives? And I think you're beautiful. You're both beautiful. And it's because of who you are. It's because of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. Let me start off with saying I try to help women understand that every woman is beautiful in her own special, unique way. Every woman, I don't care who you are, okay? And for me, as a, well, woman now, but as a child who was molested a lot when she was younger, I didn't want to feel desired. I didn't know anything about love, but I know I didn't want to feel desired because that word was attached to negativity. It was attached to hurt and being overpowered for me. So up until from the age of 8 until 12, I had that trauma. And then from 12 up until about 17, I didn't want to be looked at as attractive. I didn't give a shit because of what had taken place when they talk about they were attracted to me. And like I said, I knew what love was. I had to grow into love. I always had it within me, but it was put at bay and it was kind of destroyed a little bit because of what I was put through. When I did find love, there was one person, two people in my life that made me feel ugly. One called me ugly and the other one just made me feel ugly. My mother made me feel like I was less than because I was brown skin and I was the darkest one in my family and my hair was coarse while everybody else's was thick and fine. Mine was coarse and thick. And then my husband, with whom I had a 23-year relationship with, made me feel like there was no reason for me to look in the mirror at all because anybody knows me knows I love a classic bun, okay? I don't care too much for my hair hanging in my face, but he said something that stuck with me for a long, long time. I was very content, very happy about wearing my hair up in a bun for many different reasons, but it made me feel pretty. And he said to me, it takes a lot of courage to wear your hair away from your face. And from there on, I didn't look in the mirror. I did when he said that. And then I said, well, damn, okay, well, maybe I'm ugly, okay. So I would wear my hair down, cover my face, and I would walk my head down for a long time. So, and Lisa, that piece spoke to the deepest part of me because I didn't develop a particular kind of shape until I got damn near close to womanhood. I went through a phase of where the only shape I really had was I was well endowed. And that I was picked on about that. I was called Dolly Parton very early in life. And yeah, it sucks because I knew who Dolly Parton was. My breasts don't look like that. Why are y'all calling me that? And a lot of times you don't notice what you have until somebody emphasizes on it.
Yeah.
Place emphasis on it. And then I started looking at my breasts. I'm like, wow. My husband always wanted me to be covered up, yet he would break his neck to converse with women that didn't have no clothes on, you know. And I'm going to just say this. It's easier to believe the negative shit, the bad stuff that's said to you, rather than the positive stuff, because it has a different impact. It hits you deeper. Don't matter how many times somebody calls you beautiful, pretty, or cute, that one particular time when somebody says, you know, calls you ugly in such a way that it goes to the core of your heart and it shatters it. That one time sticks with you. for life until you actually recognize who you really are. But it takes strength and courage and patience and time. I love that piece. Y'all are pulling at my heartstrings now. I don't know why I came up with this topic. But
if it makes you feel any better, I still can't stop crying.
Aww.
You will. Well, you'll get tired of it one day. You will get tired, trust me. And that's when, see, you're actually at your strongest when you are releasing those tears. You're cleansing. So let it happen. And when nature decides that it's enough for your system, something else will kick in and you'll be in a whole different light. You'll see it in you'll have a whole new perspective. So just let it happen. Don't try and fight it. Okay? It's your soul and your spirit coming together and having a conversation and getting rid of all that negative shit that's inside of you. That's all. That's what your tears are. So let them flow, baby. It's all good. I promise you it's all good. And it's going to get better. Well, I have a little something that I worked on. It's not lengthy, but it's, y'all know I'm the queen of short pieces, but it's something. This is called The Window to My Soul. Wisdom and maturity isn't always indicative of age. We gain these things more so with the experience of damage. I've always played the background, though truth be told, I wanted the forefront. And I was happy for the most part behind the scenes, but there was also a hidden underlying misery, and my happiness lived there where it wasn't known, because them knowing that I loved them was always more important than me knowing how to love myself. But I got tired of looking in the mirror, seeing somebody I would pretend to know, acting out the lies I told myself were okay to present to the public. So after I'd climbed every mountain and hung off every ledge with everything in me, my heart surviving on being breadcrumbed, I found strength within and realized the truth to holding on was to let go. So I wiped off the window of my soul, cleaned the mirror, and I fell in love with the real me that I discovered. And that's that piece.
Wow. You know, I'm just writing things out that you said. I think you're amazing. Because listening to you tonight and you just touched on the fact that you had been molested as a child for a long time. And I kept on saying to myself, how did she survive that? How did she survive that? How did she survive that? And I still say, how did you survive that? But here you are, and after experiencing such negativity from your mother or your husband throughout your life that kicked you more, and how did you survive it? How? And yet you come out here and you speak of loving yourself in such a way. It's so mesmerizing, and I know it's the truth because it's who you are. It's who this person you've become, who you've grown into. It's a miracle. It's a miracle.
Okay.
And yourself, but that you can pass it on to people like me and Lisa. It's amazing. And because your truth is to love yourself and hold yourself up and believe in yourself. And it's a message for everyone. You're amazing.
Thank you. Wow. I appreciate that.
I completely agree. I mean, before I ever met you, listening to you on here, and there was always just something very different about hearing you speak. There was always a positivity, you know, even in the petty, funny stuff that happens on Epiphany, you always had a lighter side to you. And then we started communicating with each other, and I started to learn more of who you were and the kind of person that you are, and just seeing you have this amazing will that just, it's infectious, you know. Mm-hmm. And then meeting you in person, you know, I remember the first time we crossed paths in person, sitting in Mojave's hotel room in Philly, and you came in the room like I was the best friend you hadn't seen in 20 years, and you hugged me, and it was like that was home.
Aww.
And you've been that person in my life ever since. And I kind of I look up to you to come from these dark spaces that I live in, because you do offer such positivity and such power in the things that you say, but your power is not overwhelming or forceful. It's, you are an aura of love, and I love it. I love that you have this great heart and that you chose to share it with me.
Yeah.
Oh, I love you too. Oh, you guys, thank you. Oh, my goodness, y'all see, y'all see. I want to say something else before I get to these callers. You know, coming up as I did, not only are you put in a dark place, you get to see the darkness that other people are dealing with as well. And it was a lot of ugly, wicked shit that took place within my family. And that was one of the things that helped me get through what I was going through, because I saw that even though they would put a front on for the outside world, I knew what was taking place behind the scenes, and that how their lives weren't perfect. Like my mother would put it, she put it like, you know, light-skinned people were royalty. And nothing went wrong in their lives. They got what they want because of that line of colorism. But these were my siblings. I have a lot of siblings. And each individual one, somewhere along the lines growing up in a house with them, you're going to hear conversations on the phone about heartbreak and downfalls and financial issues and all of that shit. So I always remembered, you know what, these people are not perfect. And they caught a lot of bad breaks as well. How they turned around what was wrong in their lives on me, I don't know. That I never even focused on that after a while. I know that I wasn't protected, but I also knew that they was full of shit. So I developed this personality that made me kind of numb to what was going on as far as them coming down on me. And that helped me get through a lot. And I met a woman, well, she's a woman now, but I met a girl when I first got in high school. I was 15. And she's legally blind, but I never paid attention to that. As you said, every so often I was like, watch where you going, you know, watch your step. But we developed a very close relationship, and we became the best of friends, literally, because being handicapped in this world, you get treated really cruelly as well. And I never treated her as if she was handicapped. I never even said anything about it. I just, like I said, every so often, if we were out, I seen a hole or something in the ground, I say, you know, watch your step, it's a hole over there. And she never looked at me differently or emphasized on the fact that my hair was coarse and not straight or flowing like everybody else is, or the fact that I had arthritis and I had a little limp. She never said anything about it. We just treated each other normally, and we loved each other for that. And she was the one that I think God put in my life to let me know there is real love out there. And that helped me get through a lot of years in my life, too. So, you know, ladies, I just want you to understand that your hearts are big and they are being protected now. You're going through a change, but it's going to get better. There's an improvement coming. And just to hold on, keep your heads up. It gets better. It does get better. Now, enough of this mushy from me. I have one more piece that I need to throw in here for you guys. It's from my diva, Mrs. VIP. You know, my diva is in her healing stage. So I said I would do it, and I'm going to try and do it justice. Okay?
All right.
All right. I see me in the mirror, bent but not broken. Determined not to become a statistic, an unspoken token of loneliness, trying to find happiness in a world of wickedness, selfishness, where everyone takes out their cell phone instead of helping a victim. I was one at one point. One night I felt someone interceding, praying for me that I wouldn't get weary. In well doing, I was burnt out, couldn't pinpoint what it was about. All I knew was I was mentally drained, feeling my body chained, bound to my past. Yet I knew it wouldn't last. I saw someone with low self-esteem, but someone was praying for me. I got by with a little help with my friends, who helped me look in the mirror one last time. I saw a woman who got back her rhythm and rhyme. I saw myself beautiful, shining inside and out. I was giving my spirit living well. I finally knew what it was about. I was anew, beautifully and wondrously made. I no longer cared how others thought. Everyone talks and tries to throw shade. Now I smile because no one can judge me but the divine. I am beginning to love me, and it shows. Nobody knows all about me, but it doesn't matter. I look in the mirror. I love what I see. I'm loved, free, and happy. Oh, that was beautiful, Diva. Oh, that was beautiful.
That was a great piece.
Lisa Lips, what you got for that?
It's the redemption for me. It's the going through everything you go through and still coming out victorious. That's what I see in that piece, the victory in the end. Because we can't always, life doesn't always wrap up like the movies, you know? It doesn't always bring us full circle. But, you know, in the moments when it does, it's beautiful, and that piece reflects that.
Absolutely. Lady A?
I thought it was beautiful, too. I love the opening when she was trying to find happiness in a world full of wickedness. How so true that is, and how we can so easily get bogged down into that negativity. And then someone prayed for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people sort of scoff at the idea of praying, but there is something to be said for the power of prayer. And,
oh, yeah.
And, yeah. And thankfully she got back her rhythm and her rhyme, and she can smile. And, I mean, we have to ultimately look back in the mirror and say, you know what, despite what I've been through or what I'm going through, we have to say that we're lovable and that we love who we are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Excellent piece. Yeah.
Absolutely. I do. I feel like it is a redemption piece and a piece of self-discovery. And I thought it was really beautiful. I apologize because I stumbled a little bit. I hadn't even gotten a chance to read it when she sent it to me.
Oh, no, you did really well with it.
Thank you. All right, ladies, let's get into opening up these microphones and see what we got. First person on the mic, we have C-Double 34 Music, y'all. Hey, C-Double, welcome to Diva Talk. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I think you're beautiful, and I love big breasts.
Lord have mercy, you sound like you was in a commercial for BA, Breast Anonymous.
Yeah.
Ask your doctor if breast is right for you.
Whoa, okay, I'm going to leave that one alone. I'm going to leave it alone. Let me ask you the question of the evening.
Yes.
What do you see in the mirror?
I see somebody that's too sexy for a shirt, too sexy for a shirt, so fat it hurts. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
C-Double, you're breaking up really, really bad. Really bad.
Again?
Well, that sounds
okay.
Clear.
Okay. I'm leaning. All right.
Okay.
So, I've come a long way from the everybody hates Chris looking guy that I was as a kid. I thought I was an ugly duckling.
Okay.
But for some strange reason, God grew me up, and here I am right now.
All right. What I'm talking about right there. Okay. Well, thank you for that. Now, what did you bring?
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you for those lovely memories and all that good stuff. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Now, what did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight?
Well, I brought a piece because I tried to match your topic. So I brought a piece called I Let You Punk Me.
The mic is yours.
Thank you. I gave you in faith the keys to the apartment of my mind. You've been squatting for 3 months and legally, I can't kick you out. In the interim, I've seen you manipulate and whine, having a knack for getting your way, and every time I'm asking why. We're working the same position and occupation, yet you play the victim, crying loudly and complaining. We rehabilitate patients, but with them you have no patience, so many excuses that you make up, but you get anal, because I don't play dumb and I'm awakened. I've always expected fairness, but in life it rarely happens. I just observe your mannerisms as you laugh at my reactions. God doesn't like ugly, and that's why you're manufactured. I'm hulking like Dr. Banner, and you wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Wait a minute. You don't have the mercury or Fahrenheit to set my temperatures. You don't possess the magic to cause me to levitate or have leverage. If I was a woman like Jill Scott and Why Did I Get Married, I'd say, watch out for the wine bottles. Let me initialize my inner thoughts about you. 4 unlawful carnal knowledge, you have the follow before you can lead on my drum line. You have been missing this for miles, and it must be sublime. So let me address this using mathematics. I have the Lord by my side, and you are a non-factor. You can wrinkle up your face like a rotten, shrunken apple, but I don't go home with you and set you up on a roach-infested mattress. I don't stand in the background, and I'll be the last man standing. Improving this home like Tim Allen while leaving your feelings wrecked and shattered. I let you pump me. You're at a disadvantage. I can rock it out of Houston, so never underestimate the heart of a champion. I'll treat you like how I met your mother, and I'll accept the challenge. Then survey the perimeter of your demise, and I'll assess and access the damage. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. You are just a urinary tract infection. Now go see the doctor. That's that piece.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wait. Not the Jonathan. Who was that? Who was that? Was that Flick Flick? Or Dougie Flick?
Cool Mo D.
Yeah.
Okay. One of them. But can I ask, who were you talking to?
It was a coworker of mine back in 2016 that was trying to get away with murder. And she just played with my mind and stuff. But she was trying to get with me, and I was like, First off, you are too old. You look like Granny Clampett of the Beverly Hillbillies, and I am not with that. No.
Wow. You know, you are a straight no chaser. You have a message to deliver. It's direct, and you can't even escape from it. I don't even want to imagine what it's like to be on the receiving end of you setting somebody straight. I really don't. I'm scared. Okay. that was a dope piece. That was really a dope piece. Yo, you what's that last line, man? Oh man. You and your nostalgia. I love it. I do. Miss Lips, what you got for that?
I thoroughly agree with you. I would never want to be in the line of fire should I piss you off, because it would be rapid fire, machine gun fire on a constant basis that there's no way to duck out the way of it. You are a powerhouse of a man, and everything you do and your anger, I'm sure, is just as strong as anything else. But the piece itself, and I've had those kinds of people in my life. They make your life difficult. You try to come, they want you to come to them and ask them questions about stuff that you already know. And they try to make it look like they are something worth having when they really are just something that would be a wreckage to your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that last line just took me out. I am very happy that I had my phone on mute because I screamed in here.
Lady,
thank you so very much.
Well. You know what I was thinking of, and I'm going to be honest here. This was brutal. And what we were talking about before is that things that people say to us. And all I could think of was her going home and looking in the mirror and saying, wow, I'm a piece of shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I saw it. It was brutal.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that to be negative. I'm just saying, like, that was, like, I would go home and, oh, my God, I think I would never come out of the house again. It's rather harsh. She needed a reprimand, but perhaps not a disembowelment. I don't know.
Yeah, you said the right thing, Lady A, because we worked at a nursing home. So
yeah.
The thing about it is I can get along with anybody. I'm friendly to anybody. You know, I give the shirt off my back. I'm pretty much like that. But when you keep getting at me and getting at me, I hold it in and I try to be cool. But
mm-hmm.
then it's like that, the Incredible Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
No, I get it. I guess like Danielle said, like that last urinary tract infection. Yowza. Oh my God! I almost had to cross my legs for that one. Holy shit!
Exactly. All right, people.
Wow.
All right, we got to wrap this convo up because I got other callers waiting on the line. C-Double, thank you once again for that. Woo, child. I'm going to call that the spanking piece. Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I really, really do. I am going to get my diva, Miss Lips, to escort you over to Temptation Station. You can grab yourself a drink. Sit back, put your feet up, and take the box off. Baby, baby. One love.
Come on, Double.
Yeah, you know I love you.
One love, one mic to all you ladies. Love you all.
All right. Wow. All right, ladies, the next artist we have on the mic is a member of the Epiphany family and one half host of the Just Jay and Gina Storm show. We got ourselves a Gina Storm. Hey, Gina, welcome to Divas Talk. How you doing tonight?
I'm fine. Thank you for asking. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.
You said I was the reason, you know, the day of the week, so I had to say it.
Absolutely. I was getting ready to say I didn't forget what day it was today. But when I hear you on the other shows on the other nights, I'll be like, oh, I'm so glad she on it because I forgot it was such and such a day. Good. Yeah.
Love it here. Right. Absolutely.
So.
Came through because I had texted the Pearl Network earlier, and I was like, Diva, is there a, you know, topic for tonight? I didn't know if it was just open mic or if y'all had a topic. And you sent me a message to let me know that the topic was, what do you see when you look in the mirror? And I am so blessed to see my mother's daughter because, to me, my mother has always been my role model. She was a plus-size fashion model for Johnson & Johnson Cosmetics fashion fair. Used to have runway shows in the city of Chicago, and my parents are Chicagoans. I grew up in the suburbs, and so I'm a Joliet, and they're Chicagoans. And the wonderful thing about my parents is that I loved the fact that Mr. Johnson saw that models aren't always model size. Beauty doesn't have a size, and that she was on a runway. Now, mind you, she was wearing a 14, and I didn't know that that was fat. You know what I'm saying? She was like, yeah, I was kind of big.
Considered plus size.
And I would
see
her, get dressed to go on the runway. She would be going to shows. My dad would escort her, and they would get there. They were treated like VIPs. And all I could think was, how is that possible when she thinks she's fat? It wasn't that she thought she was fat. She had been told she was fat. And that's the difference. One thing to think it, and it's something else to hear it and believe it. So I thank my mother for letting me know that beauty doesn't have a size. And I thank my grandmother for putting me in pageants when I was a child because I had to learn for myself that I'm more than just my face. I didn't pick it. This is DNA. Mm-hmm. My parents were attractive, so I'm not an ugly person. But the reality is I'm smart, and I wanted to be smart and not pretty. And she showed me the difference between being pretty for a big girl and being pretty, period. It didn't initially, but it took eventually. And so because of her being my role model, I found my footing, and I'm grateful and thankful for that.
All right. Well, thank you for that testimony. Appreciate the transparency. Now, what did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight?
Okay, so I told you I was ready when you gave me the topic. So I wrote a fresh piece. This is brand new ink. I wrote it 5 minutes prior to the show.
Right.
What do I see in the mirror? Go ahead.
Fresh coming through. The mic is yours.
What do I see when I look in the mirror? What I titled this piece. I wrote it just now. I went shoe and dress shopping today. Don't be like that. So some of you don't even understand what I'm talking about today. But it's a big deal for me, for those of you who don't know. I have body shame and social anxiety, truly. Outside is now a struggle for me. So there are no arrows in the store to tell you what lane to go up and the other to come down. No 6 feet distance indicators to let you know how far to stand between the next shopper when you're in line. And if that doesn't help you process it, I hate it, but it's a fact. If I used to tell my grandchildren this, people suck and the world's a terrible place. Oh, I had to stop doing that. I was doing it previously and thought it was okay. But now I have to look at myself realistically in the mirror. And this is what I see. I want to make my words less harsh. I want what I say to not leave behind scars. Because I see the healed scars from surgeries and violence in my life, on my own body. And it's not easy to embrace. Yet I'm not them in totality. I am strength, resilient, optimistic, encouraging, inspirational, gifted, loved, and protected. God-fearing and blessed, I survived everything to date that was hell-bent on ending me. I see love as familiar and or through the friendships that I've made in life. They're all amazing connections and dedication to being who I'm destined to be. Yeah, I see myself in comfortable shoes and blue dresses that I purchased in Ross today. Of course, I had to look in the mirror before I tried on the dresses, and I have to believe me. See, I thought I needed a larger size, but my weight loss is a testimony. I worked hard to get to the place that I am currently, and I love myself daily. But if I did, I need everyone listening who's worried about their bodies and having that same shame that they can too. And that's now my philosophy. I learned painfully over a very long time to embrace and love Regina. Prior to becoming the storm, I was enough already. But the acceptance was rough. So I shopped today and triumphed. And at the funeral home and the Kingdom Hall this weekend, I will finally be comfortable in my own skin as I lay to rest one of the best men that I've ever known in my life. See, I'm a warrior. And when I look in the mirror, what I see is triumphant, happy, and okay, in peace.
Wow. I have to say, the part where you were talking about you would talk very negatively to you about the world, to your grandchildren, and then you realized you had to stop. And my thing with that is, yes, because with people like you and I and Epiphany in this world, it can't be all bad. There are some beautiful sides to life, and it's to be lived and enjoyed. I love that piece. It was very, very sensitive. And once again, I have to send my condolences to you and my prayers with love and light, sweetie, for your loss. I didn't really get a chance to say it to you the other night, but you're always in my prayers, always. And I know this is a trying time for you right now to hold it together, but you know you got us here always, and you can always talk to me. But thank you
Absolutely.
For that beautiful piece.
I know that, and I appreciate y'all. You've been here for me, Danielle, and I need people to understand this. Not people say, you know, I got you, sis. And they're saying mm-hmm. that. But then you don't feel like you can reach out to them. So I know that about you. I appreciate that, and I wanted to say it out loud. I do. I lost 4 people in 6 days, and they were loved ones. Some of them were mine, and some were the loved ones of my loved ones. But either way, the grief affects me the same way. The wonderful thing about today is I'm okay, and I'm okay because of the people who hold me up, build me up in love, and support me. So I thank you all for that.
You are more than welcome, sweetie. Ms. Lips, what do you have for that piece?
I agree with everything you said. Gina, you always have this amazing positivity in the midst of any storm that you're in, and that rings through in that piece. You were talking about other earlier. I was one of those kids who was involved in those Ebony Fashion Fair things too, but I was not involved in the plus side of it. I was in the regular class. So as a kid who was a size 14, 16, they starved me to death on a constant basis, because I was always told I was too fat. By the time the pageant came around, I had squeezed myself down to a size 10, and they were still complaining about me being too big. So, yeah, I didn't get the positive reinforcement that you did. And so I wish I had someone like that in my corner. It would have changed the way I saw myself in life. And that piece that you just did was just amazing because of the way you were brought up, to know that your beauty has nothing to do with what number is written on the tag in your clothes.
Yes, ma'am. I salute that, and I thank you, because for me, that kind of encouragement was always a necessity, not an option. And I am grateful to have had it, and I'm thankful, because I wouldn't be who I am today if body shaming and feeling uncomfortable in my own skin was something that I held on to. Thank you.
Lady Ice, what do you have for that?
Wow. You know, you were lucky to have positive reinforcement for sure. But I think, too, our own selves beat ourselves up, like, with the body shaming and your social anxiety. And the world in your eyes was a terrible place. And an epiphany took place where you saw your own strength and resilience, and that you were blessed and loved. And you are still becoming, as we all are, who we're meant to be. And I think that being a warrior and being triumphant go hand in hand to get to that place where you can accept who you are. It's an awful word when you hear that. I cringed when I heard it said several times about being fat. Being fat in places in Africa and other underdeveloped countries is seen as being wealthy and being having enough food, and it's looked on as a beautiful thing that you have weight on. It's seen as a token of wealth. I remember at Thanksgiving dinner one time when I was with my ex-husband, and there was probably 30 people all together, the adult table and the kids' table. I was sitting in behind and couldn't move about, so my ex-husband's aunt was there taking orders for dessert. And mind you, the place was packed. It was at my mother-in-law's. And she was taking everybody's order. And when she came to me, she said, and she shouted it out and almost sucked the air out of the room, and she said, "The fat lady wants pumpkin pie." Mm. And, you know, that word fat just is so unfair. And I'm glad you see yourself in a different light now, and that you are triumphant in who you are. Because being fat, even, we have to look at ourselves as being beautiful.
We are beautiful. Size is not what determines beauty, okay?
No.
It is what radiates from within. I don't care what you look like, okay? But I do care about how you treat me, how you act towards me, okay?
Yeah.
And how you treat other people. And that was a beautiful assessment. Thank you for that. Gina, you know I love you, darling. You know I do. And like I said, I'm here for you, sweetie, if you need me.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to personally usher you over to Temptation Station.
Oh, wait. I need to promote because next Saturday, next Saturday on October 7th, in the Epiphany Universe here at the Forever Network, we are going to be the Just Jay and Gina show. It's going to be live on the Epiphany Network that Saturday night. And I need y'all to understand that it is the Just Jay and Gina show. And I also wanted to say something to Lady A because I loved your commentary, but I need you to understand that Africa is not an underdeveloped continent by any means. And
no,
all of the countries in Africa, some of them, no, I got to say this because some of the countries there are very wealthy. But I do understand your purpose and why you said what you said, because sometimes if you don't know, you don't know. But I will say this. I have family members from Ghana, but the thing that they love, like you said, is prosperity to them is being larger in size. And I get that, truly do. But I need you to understand it's not underdeveloped. It is different.
I know that.
Yes, ma'am. I didn't want to take offense to it. I just simply wanted you to understand that continent is full of wealth, and being large is a sign of prosperity, truly. And that doesn't make it right or wrong. It just is what it is. But I love y'all, and one love, one mic. Danielle, let's go.
Danielle, you're on mute.
I'm sorry.
We Epiphany Radio, the Forever Entertainment Network.
Let's love, let's love. Let's love, let's love. Let's love.
I apologize. Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Epiphany Radio, and this is Divas Talk. The dial-in number is 319-527-6300, and please, by all means, press that 1 and join us. All right, ladies, I apologize, Gina. I was talking to you, and I didn't know you couldn't hear me. I was on mute. Thank you, Ms. Lips. All right, this next artist we have on the mic is the area code 469. Welcome to Divas Talk. Who do we have on the mic?
What's good, ladies? This is MD Live.
Oh, right now. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, MD Live, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Sitting up here. Well.
Okay. I don't know why I don't have your number down pat yet, but I'm going to get it soon.
Listen, no, I'm going to keep calling till you do.
I know that's right. You better. So, I'm sitting here with my other divas, Lady A and Lisa Lips. Ladies, this is MD Live.
Hi.
How you ladies doing?
Good. Good to hear you.
All right. So, MD Live, you've been listening. And I have to ask you the question, what do you see in the mirror?
A father, a husband, a man and a little big bonded woman. My wife is a big bonded woman, and she asked me one day, you know, she was big bonded when I met her. She asked me one day, was I still attracted to her since she's gotten a little bigger? Be honest, I told her no. Said, no, I'm not attracted to you. I have always and will always be attracted to you. I don't care about your size. I love you, and if I didn't want to be with you, I would have got someone else, but my heart told me to come to you. So no, I'm not attracted to you. I am most definitely attracted to you. She's like, what's the difference? I said, well, I add more admiration onto it. I add more love onto it. Your size don't define you. What you've shown me over the years has defined the woman that I married.
That's beautiful.
It's been 15 years, going on 16.
And you're going strong. That's beautiful.
Oh, yes.
I love that.
Yeah. And we've had those looks and everything. You know, I was in the grocery store one day, and I walked up and I gave my wife a kiss. And this old gentleman, yeah. So I'm thinking at the time that it was a race issue because I'm black, my wife is white. So I thought it was a race issue, so I followed him around. I heard him tell his wife, that's disgusting. Look how big she is. She shouldn't be in the grocery store.
Hold up.
I said, I don't disrespect my elders, but you do realize your wife and my wife are the same size. No, no disrespect. No, that was very, very disrespectful. I said, don't ever do that again, man, because someone else other than me probably would have punched you.
Mm-hmm.
And the cashier, she was a big bonded woman. She said, probably. I'll slap the shit out of you if you was talking about me. Like, you started a whole situation by making comments you should have kept to yourself.
Get that clock clean with the quickness. That's the world we live in. That is the world that we live in. I commend you for that. It's a rarity, but I find that the energy that I am surrounded by now that I love myself, when I hear these testimonies, I hear them more often than none about the love that a husband has for his wife. I don't care what she looks like, what color she is. It don't matter. You married this woman, and I'm pretty sure you married for love. And I think it's a beautiful thing. And I just, one of these days, somebody going to snatch me up too. But thank you for that. Now, what did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight in the live?
Well, I brought some. I haven't shared with anybody, but a few people on but I haven't read it in a while. It's called A Broken Home.
The mic is yours.
And it's a poem through the eyes of a woman, so it might sound kind of weird me saying it. But here it goes. It's a, you say I do, but clearly you don't. You don't care about the children. You don't care about this house. And you damn sure don't care about me, your spouse. look at what you're doing to me, calling me names, picking on my size. We're supposed to be each other's backbone, but mine is broken and scarred. And every day I try so damn hard to love you. But every day I'm reminded by these scars that the only person you love is you. Instead of sitting there showing how little you care, look at me. Don't look through me. Talk to me. Don't talk past me so that I can understand why you treat me the way you do. Am I not a good wife? Am I not good enough for you? Tell me, what the hell did I do? You know what? Let me stop blaming myself, because the blame is all on you. I have done all I can to succeed as a mother and wife. Tell me one thing. When are you going to man up and be a man? Balling up your fist and striking me surely is not. You know what? I'm tired of being your punching bag. I'm tired of buying makeup to cover my black and blue eyes. I'm tired of making excuses when everyone knows that I lie. And you, my soon-to-be ex-husband, you are just damn tired. In peace.
Wow. Now, here you go. You come on here praising your wife about the love you have for her, and then you turn around and give us a piece about an abused woman. Wow. That's a roller coaster ride. That was a very powerful piece, because I can't understand the physical abuse, but I damn sure understand verbal and mental abuse. And
my sister actually is the person that got me into writing through the eyes of a woman. Not because she was in an abusive relationship, but because every time I talked to her, she reminded me, hey, don't put your hands on no woman, because you saw what mom went through. You saw all the fights and the cuts and stuff that mom went through. So if you ever put your hands on a woman, I'm going to put my hands on you. And that was from my little sister.
Okay.
And she did not play when it came to treating women with respect and everything like that, because even though she was real young, was the main one that saw it, because she stayed by my mom's side.
Wow.
And so me listening to her words, I found myself writing more through the eyes of a woman. Like my first book, but actually all of my books are based on women. There are women fiction, so I try to look at things that women went through and how they persevered and came out on top. Although
wow.
I've been told by several people, you know, stop writing like that. A man can't write a woman's story. I said, shit, look at Tyler Perry. That's all he wrote.
There you go. There you go. You don't have to justify or verify yourself. You're already validated. I love that piece. Thank you. Miss Lips, what you got for that?
Thank you.
That piece was very powerful. I honestly wish that more women could see themselves out of situations in the manner that she did. A lot of times we get so beat down in those situations that we start believing the hype and we never leave because we're fearful that there's no other place for us. So yeah, that was definitely a power piece.
You know, my son, he writes poetry, and he wrote a piece called Stockholm Syndrome. Unfortunately, I've seen this time and time again where women are in these situations, and they don't know how to get out, so they start to sympathize with the person that's abusing them and blaming all of themselves. And saying, hey, they shouldn't have said something. They shouldn't have done something. They deserve what happened to them. And they're stuck. They not that they don't know how to get out. They don't want to get out because they feel like that person that hitting on them, beating on them, calling them names, truly love them. I'm like, nah, that's a power trip. That's a power trip. You know, my mom was in that situation, and my mom got out. She finally, you know, got out, and she went back to school, got her degrees, became a nurse and everything. So I'm like, some women don't know how and don't see how to get out of it. And so they remain in it until they're no longer here.
Huh? You're right.
Which is sad to see.
Lady A, what you have for that?
I thought it was really unique that you wrote from a female point of view. And what stuck with me was, look at me. Don't look through me and talk to me. Don't just talk past me. Her feeling that she's not good enough and realizing in the end that he was to blame and that she was tired and she was going to make a move. I grew up in an abusive home like that, and my mother always said, I'm just staying for you kids. And I always said to myself, you didn't do us any favors. And I thought this touched me in that way, in the sense, you know, the abuse and why do some. And back in those days, there wasn't any place for women to go when they were in a situation like that. Today it's different. There are all kinds of places to get help. And I'm not saying that I was physically abused or anything like that, but when I left my ex-husband, I put myself through school, too. I had three kids. The youngest was 11, and I put myself through nursing school. I did an abject poverty during that time, but I did it. And where there's a will, there is a way.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, MD Live. Ladies, thank you for your commentary. I'm going to have Lady A escort you over to Temptation Station. You can go in there and grab yourself a drink, sit down, put your feet up, and take your socks off. Baby, baby, one love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Ladies, ladies, ladies. Got my brother coming up on here next. Guys, there's Mojave. Hey, Javi, welcome to Divas Talk. How you doing tonight?
Oh, I am super splendiferous and wonderful at the same time. It's great.
And it is splendid to hear you.
Hey, Lisa Lips. Hey, Lady A.
Hey.
Man. So, you've been listening to the show. I don't know how long. I think you've been on here for a while. What do you see in the mirror?
Oh, what I see me? What I see now? Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. Because I had to throw on the monkey suit today, and had to run around. And so the funny thing is, you know, I keep forgetting that, you know, in my once storied future legal career, which I'm going to revisit very soon, because I realize I kind of have to do it. I realize that it's very strange for people to see a man like with a forehead of locks and a suit with a bow tie, and it makes them think that you belong to something that you don't. And then when you start speaking, they go, oh. You know, so it's kind of, and you know, and I said, well, how are you judging me based off of my hair when it's just a natural hair care style? But the suit is throwing you off because I'm wearing a suit that's clearly a Ralph Lauren suit with Kenneth Cole shoes and matching bow tie. And I'm looking a particular way, and I have the new glasses on, so I'm looking very, very regal and collegial and professional, and you're still judging me for that. So when I look in the mirror, I try not to judge myself for who I am. I just know how far I've come. I realize that I've earned every wrinkle, every gray, and everything else that's happened. And I love myself so much more than I used to, you know, with anything else going up. Because when people talk about how people see them, like the one thing you talk about, I put a post on my thing, is like, you know, do people consider you ugly in high school? And I was like, yeah, people told me I was ugly all the time. Like, oh, not you and your ugly self, you know. Now the wild thing is that all the people who said me and my ugly self, they went the way of everything else, and now like maybe in my inbox, I'm like, oh, you look good, oh, your kids are so great, blah blah blah, you're doing all these things, and you're just sitting there, and you thought I was goofy looking and all this other stuff, and now I'm handsome, you know, now I'm handsome, mm-hmm. And I always,
you know, that's it goes. You know that's the way it goes, that's how
yeah,
it happens. You know,
I do.
But you know, I love you, and I think you are absolutely beautiful inside and out. So, and you know what the man bun does to me, but we're going to talk about that later.
All of that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, don't
you
be sorry.
I get all of that. And then he throws the poetry out and melts you. So, yeah.
I'll tell you. I don't believe in incest, but I'm just saying.
Wilding. Absolutely wilding. But thank you for liking my poetry, supporting me, and loving the set. But at the same time, as much as I am, you know, you are, like, y'all helped me to become me. I'm surrounded and ensconced and with all the tragedy and everything that's happened this year, you know, I feel very covered and comforted, you know, and cared for. And that's all I can ask for, you know. Epiphany has been epiphany, you know, and then it's this rare epiphany. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff. But, like, it's love, you know,
mm-hmm.
And it's special. And to be around people who really, like, rock with you and get you, like, you can spend an infinitesimal amount of time with them because you just enjoy them as people, you know. Without anything else going on, you don't need anything. You just need the energy. And it's just a vibe every time I'm around all of y'all. So it just works out, you know. I'm glad that people trust my visions and leadership and believe in me like I believe in them. But then, you know. What's that song? Do y'all believe in something? Don't you believe in me? I feel that all the time.
Absolutely. That's all love, man. We're shining, baby. We shine on each other. And that's what that's the way it is. So, what did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight?
Well, since you guys were talking about what you see in the mirror, which is cool, we have a prompt that we got from Sunrise Scribe. We do that every Tuesday and Friday, you know, it's not for the weak and the faint hearted, and you probably need G14 classified to get up in there. It's real tight. Like,
okay.
You just can't come in. You got to be referred and checked out, and somebody's got to get into your background check and all that crazy stuff, you know, cause shit's lying now. However, a lot of my recent writings, you know, that don't have anything to do with drip, has come from there. And so, of course, you know, the one of the prompts that we got, which is called the recipe of me. You know, what goes into making you? Kind of like what you see in the mirror, right? So it's very comparable. But are you ready? I'm gonna go.
The mic is yours.
All right. Just tell me this is too loud. The recipe of me. Add West African, Native American, Gucci, pecans and peaches, black grapes, melon, baked Georgia sun, New Jersey shore, Bay Shore, South Side, 130 lemons that you found on the street, tree berries, add 121 lux that you found on the drive, six brothers, three, Nucky, Greg, and Junie, brought on summer sunset by Pop Pop running around the tree at dusk, sun rays becoming golden gleams, kissing the grass green, sconcing play and laughing. Add four that never left sight, four that I saw every night, who I cried next to when we were hungry. They were right next to me. I had a picture of black velvet Jesus in my grandmother's house, a place called home, where everyone came to rest. I had concrete whose purpose was patio, the free soul celebration, through outside fire and heated food, the picking up of sticks, the gathering of pieces of yard, bake my mother's heartbreak, the loss of my love and my father's relationship, the anger of looking just like Jimmy, the beatings like eggs, until the white meat shows disguised as discipline, this merengue of working two jobs and letting me become a latchkey kid. How can a six-year-old go missing in the winter, banging on doors, hands freezing? I didn't know that nerve damage was back then. Pour in Saturday morning cartoons, bowls of sugar bear, and King Vitamin when you couldn't get the crunch of the captain. Add music. This earth, wind, and fire, the mighty sparrow, my family dancing during the holidays. The Sunday 6:44, I called of my grandmother for Sunday school with Miss Boswell. Not liking church because the ushers wouldn't let you out even if you had to pee. Season 1, they would tell me to send her your love. And the sound of bangles at night and your parents are behind closed doors. How long will they stay? Mix in the 35 North Mannings. Add the loving of friends and laughter and dancing. The visit and unsureness and lack of confidence. Lack of affection, lack of direction, and believing that manhood starts with your obelisks, starts with our direction, so don't lose yourself. Love what you are doing. Keep mixing. You can save this dish. Divorce yourself from bad ingredients. Fix your taste buds. You will learn when things are spoiled, as the smiles of children fill a bowl of love with joy. This is your measure. It took a long time to let this wisdom bake, clean up the dust of how eight-lit poets be whisked in copious amounts, out locks and good friendships in every pot.
You know what? You have this way about you, the way you speak. The words are just, like I said, everything about you is just beautiful. And to speak on love, the smiles of children, that right there, that one little line right there is just, it's life to me. I thought this was really, really beautiful. I just, damn, man. You do this all the time. You leave me at a loss for words. This is a beautiful, beautiful piece. You know what? I'm just passing on over to Miss Lips. What you got for this piece?
Whenever we're doing these shows, whenever I'm on Epiphany and I'm on with Hav, and I know that he's about to spit, I mute my phone and I set the phone on my chest, so that I can feel it through my heart. Because every piece he does, every piece you do, whether it's about eroticism whether it's about the things that you grew up doing, whether it's about relationships, love, children, whatever, it's always so heartfelt, so profoundly precious when you speak it. And your pieces just move me, no matter what your subject matter, because you have that within you. You're one of the most loving men I've ever met. And I am so grateful for you in my life.
You don't make me cry. You need to stop playing with me right now. Cut it out.
And very real. Lady A?
I would like to say that this piece gave me a glimpse into your whole life and all the things that you mentioned, from pecan pie to being a latchkey kid, and then the music has made you who you are today, despite whatever downfalls there may have been, whatever heartache there may have been. It still made you the person that you are today. And I really enjoyed listening to this piece and would like to know more, because that's what it gave me. It gave me an interest in, because we all have a story. We all came from somewhere, and all of those things formed us into who we are today. So I really appreciated that.
Thank you.
No,
I appreciate it.
You are meditation music. That's what you are. I can listen to your voice all day long, literally. Fall asleep to it, wake up to it, sleep through it, everything. All right, that's it. I'm not getting no more mushy than that.
Thank you.
Before I escort you over there to the Temptation Station, can you please let everyone know what you have going on in the world of Epiphany Radio universe?
Did you say the Temptation Station? No, that's bad for you. That's hilarious. Anyway, since we're sitting here pulling around, I believe next Tuesday we're ending the month of October. A month of incredible features and things that are going down here on the Tizzy Radio Universe, Sickleville Entertainment Network, where we encourage you to take your socks off. But baby, baby. Now, the next Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will be having Fly Speak. And Fly Speak will be featuring, for the first time, on any time, Just Jay, doing a specially curated set just for Fly Speak. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome and incredible. And it's going to be one of those things that you wish you were there for, because this has been done in secret and I'm only announcing it now. But we're going to be doing some incredible things with these words. And this month is no different. You know, be on the lookout for 100 for 3.0 that's coming up. We'll be featuring Ocean's Rain, Mysterio 2, Nikita J. Poet, Just Ace. It is going to be thought, study, super packed. And if you ever come to 153.0, please use Fran. Bring prophylactics for your ears. Your mind can get pregnant with some bad ideas that you want to take it home. And we're not responsible for any babies that made from those. So, that being said, check us out. It'll be a good time. It'll be a fun time. Only here. Only here. On the 50 Radio Universe, where we boldly go where poems have not gone before. Yeah. Okay, that's my commercial. Don't fire me for real. Don't do it. I have to do it now. It's too cool. I'm like, it's the perfect punctuation. I'm just saying. Boss man, don't fire me. Don't fire me. I'll do it.
And he's listening. He's listening. No, he's listening.
Oh, no, that's messed up. A thousand apologies. I had to do it. I had to do it. I had to do it. I hope you're recovering well. We're coming to Philly soon, boss man. We're coming to Philly soon. Check up on you, see how you're recovering. That's really good.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up. That is definitely what's up. All right, Muhammad,
yeah,
thank you very much. Huh?
After bringing your stuff, too.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I'm excited. Yo, I could do a whole commercial about your gear. I'm trying to tell you that that's for another time. I was feeling commercially the other day.
Lisa come in there and do all the stuff. You know, I don't know. Y'all got some dripwear. I ain't gonna say it holds it. Y'all ain't never got. You know, we do this hoodies and kickback thing. Y'all ain't got to worry about getting hoodies. I'm like, what? Lisa be like, what color?
Right.
Yeah,
what color?
Yeah.
You know, are we doing necklaces? We're not doing what we doing. Just tell
me. I think
me.
I still got two I haven't worn yet.
See, there you go.
I'm just patiently waiting on mine. That's all, because I already know what it's hitting for. I'm trying to tell you,
I need
to grab some of that high Rux wear. And Lord, it's so soft. It's so comfortable. It's so warm. I'm trying to tell you, you're going to love it. Get yourself.
Matter of fact, make sure you get some wrist wear, you know, by the boss man himself. You got to get that, too. That's, you need that on your wrist. You need it.
Grab some of them raw links. Yes. Remember these two words. High Rux wear and raw links. Okay. Grab your
legs. Talking about the raw legs, y'all. Come on. Raw legs.
We're doing the soul glow type commercials now.
I'm just telling you. But it's catchy. It's like saying raw legs to the tune of those boys car wash. It's going to catch you out there. It's going to stick with you, too.
Raw legs. That's where, yeah, that is catchy. Holy, now I'll be singing this shit tonight after this. All right, Javi, it is definitely time for you to get up out of here. Come on over here to the Temptation Station with me and grab yourself a drink and put your feet up and take your socks off. Baby, baby. One love.
Baby, baby.
One love. Yo, I love him. He knows it. All right, ladies, divas. Our last caller of the evening is another member of the Epiphany family. We got ourselves the host of Monday's King and Queen's Quarters. We got a King Atterbury. Hey, King, welcome to Divas Talk. I almost said Divas Talk. How you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm good. How you ladies doing?
Good. Glad you came to play with me.
Yeah, no doubt. I took an early nap earlier, and I was, like, out. And then God woke me up and all that. And I was like, oh, God, it's 10 o'clock.
I know that. That's all right. It don't. I don't even think it matter what time we get awakened, as long as we get woke up. Okay. So.
Indeed.
You've been listening to the show, and I got to ask you, who do you see in the mirror?
Who do I see in the mirror when I wake up in the morning? I see one magnificent motherfucker.
Are you mad at you, King? Okay.
Look, if you don't feel good about yourself and you wake up in the morning and see your image, you're going to have a fucked up day. That's how I look at it. So you got to make sure you're feeling vibrant. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Especially after you splash that cold water on your face. You know what I mean?
Ooh, child. Yeah, I know about that cold water splash. Trust me. Whew. It makes a difference, though. It does make a big difference. Whew. I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, you gotta feel. You gotta feel heavy on yourself, like yo. This is where it's at. Now, if you want to sleep feeling all, and you wake up to it, your whole day is gonna be. You know what I mean? So, you know, the mind tricks the body, body tricks the mind crazy. That's how it is.
Oh yeah, you know what I say? Wake with gratitude every day, and it'll set you. It'll set your mold right for the rest of the day. Just do it. Okay?
You know what I always say, brand new day, brand new feeling. Let's go out there and get it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Kent, what did you bring tonight for our listening pleasure?
I had this piece. Yeah. Called Perspective Purpose.
The mic is yours.
Thank you. Intuition growing inside the morning, blank image. Vision unclear until I washed last night's window. Yesterday was my dimension. Now let's enter new beginning. It's 6 hours past midnight. Another day is born. The spirit inside the vessel lifting a heavy man. Soon as the lights turn on, those of life start turning. Read out the truth. Know how to talk in pure silence. The soul play a role expediting a higher consciousness. Who am I taking the lead? I am he, moving free, watching the steps that are lopsided, shifting my position. Where I go from which I came, or go present in this time. There is no other place to be, sitting on prayers till afternoon. Clarity without a cup of magic. What are my choices? What are the angelic voices singing, ringing my ears? A song is just a song, but it's a life from experience. How we hold on to the message, especially without interference. Kidding.
Yo, and you know what I always say? That last line envelops the whole piece. Can I hear it again?
How we hold on to the message is special without interference.
That's true. It's how we hold on to it, okay? And that determines what we do with it while we have it in our possession. Ah, man, that piece is life, y'all. I'm trying to tell you. Man, Miss Lips, what you have for that?
Yeah, that's definitely the way we need it to end this show. That's powerful information. It sums up everything we've all talked about tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, all the things that we've dealt with, the superficialness of what we look like, the strength of what our emotions do, the importance of knowing yourself and loving yourself, and it's all covered in that piece.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Lady A?
Yeah, I agree with that. I also have to say, too, that since I've met you, King, that you've always had a very positive outlook on life, and you've always made lemonade out of lemons, and you've always passed that on to other people to try to live by. And I think that, you know, your testimony, your witness to the person that you are shines when you bring something like that forward. I think it shows the person that you are, the depth that you have as a human being, and I appreciate that.
Absolutely. And yes, what a way to end this show. That piece does embody everything that we were speaking on tonight from beginning to end, and it's greatly appreciated, and thank you for bringing that. But But before I let you skate off over there in Temptation Station, can you please let everyone know what you have going on in the world of Epiphany Radio's universe?
Hey, Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, King and Queen's Quarters, myself, King Atterbury, and the host of this show tonight, LaPearl and Necklace. So you tune in, check us out, come through, spit some pieces. I mean, word.
Absolutely. All right, Ken, come on over there. I'm going to escort you myself and go over there, grab yourself a drink, sit back, put your feet up, and take your socks off. Baby, baby. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic. Thank you.
Ladies, divas, what an amazing show tonight. Oh, my goodness. This awesome poetry and the transparency and the testimonies given were just awesome. They were amazing. And I'm so grateful. I thank you, ladies, as always, for riding with me and giving me your uniqueness, your beautiful poetry, and just of yourselves. I appreciate you so much for this. You have any closing words, ladies? We'll start with you, Miss Lips.
This has been an emotional ride for me, and this has been cleansing as well. I appreciate all the love that was poured out on the stage tonight and left for us all to ponder and see where our growth is. And I thank you again, as always, for thinking of me and bringing me onto this platform with you during this time. And I really do love the ride here.
Me too.
Lady N.
Yeah, I got to just say the same thing. I think it's always exciting to see how the show is going to go. I always am thankful and grateful that I'm a part of it and that you allow me to be a part of it. And I thank the callers and those that are listening. And I hope that whatever blessings you can get out of tonight, which will be many, I'm sure, that you can take them and tuck them away and live by them and have a better life. It's pretty amazing stuff. Thanks.
You're welcome, and you're welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, like I always do, get that good relationship going with yourself because therein lies spirit. Continue to love and respect one another. I want you to be safe. Protect yourself from these germs. And with that, say peace. Life ever falling fine to the hope that you
One day you'll open your wings up high. One day you'll